It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. And Christopher, after what, a year or so of listeners asking for this topic to be discussed?
It's been a while, yeah.
Somebody who's just kind of neutral that can answer the questions and give a good feedback as to how these annuities work and so forth. And we had our guest lined up, about 3 months ago, and he unfortunately lost his voice that day. So we had to reschedule, and we're finally tonight, and this has been much hyped. Many asked for this, and finally here it is. So who are we talking to today?
Yeah, that's great. We're talking to Dr. Wade Fowl, and he is a professor of retirement income in the Financial and Retirement Planning Program at the American College of Financial Services. And so after doing just a couple of degrees at the University of Iowa, he went on to get his master's and doctorate in economics from Princeton University. And he's also a CFA, Chartered Financial Analyst.
Right.
So.
And we've watched and read many of Wade's articles and so forth, have great respect for him and the work he does. As a matter of fact, we intend to have him back again maybe next year to actually talk about some real strategies for retirement planning. But
sure.
Right tonight,
yep.
Our focus is strictly on these annuities. And we are fee-only advisors. We're NAPFA fee-only advisors. So to us, it doesn't matter where the product is coming from,
sure.
And so forth. All that matters to us, what is the best for our clients? And so we have a lot of listeners and a lot of clients that also that ask, well, you're getting a 7% rate of return over here, and you get a bonus and
front.
You get all this kind of stuff. And so hopefully by the end of tonight, we can really analyze what is going on, what is the truth, how do you make sure that what you're getting is what you really think you're getting. And that's where Wade comes in, and hopefully Wade and us will have a great conversation tonight and clear a lot of this up. Wade, are you there with us?
I'm there. Hi, Drew and Chris. Yeah, uh-huh. I got my voice back now, so I'm ready to go.
All right, great.
Right. A doctor of retirement income. I didn't know there was such a thing.
Right. As far as I know, it's a unique job title, and that's just a matter. At the American College, they do like to create new job titles for their professors.
So that gives you job security. You're the only one in the country that has a doctorate in retirement income.
Yeah, as far as I know.
Maybe Michael Kitsis has it because he has every other credential there is, too.
He too sure does. He has, I think, 15 different ones after his name. I've been trying to get him into our PhD program, but he's so busy right now. I'm not sure when that'll happen.
So, Wade, you know, we have, a lot of people, like on this radio station, or people that come out and say, you know, you should get 7% on your money, you should get a bonus, you should get this, you should get that, you know, and listeners are confused. I think the public is confused, and regulators in the country are kind of frustrated with what's going on. So why don't we just start with, why don't you tell us what these annuities are, and then we can get in after we go through our first pause, as we like to call it. We'll get into the dynamics of how they're working. What are these things, and how are they, you know, what's the purpose behind them?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, so there's a lot of different kinds of annuities out there, and academics tend to like one of the more simple types that are either called income annuities or single premium immediate annuities or deferred income annuities. But they're very basic. They're not really pushed by insurance companies because they don't have high commissions connected to them, and they're a really small part of the annuity world. For what you're talking about in terms of these like 7% guaranteed quote-unquote returns and so forth, that's either going to be a deferred variable annuity or a fixed indexed annuity.
So, go ahead.
Well, the discussion can get a little bit complex. I think we'll go into that more later, but to give a simple idea of really the phenomenon that's going to be going on behind the scenes of what we're talking about, suppose you just go to a store and then the store behind the scenes have doubled all their prices, but then they promote they're having a 50% off sale. So they're really pushing the idea that everything in the store is 50% off. So you're not really any better off when you're buying something that's 50% off, but it had its price doubled to begin with. You're really just paying the same price you would have paid all along. And that's the basic analogy that we can think about when we get into more details for these annuities.
Okay, so let me ask you this. What is an indexed annuity versus a variable annuity? Let's just start. What is an indexed annuity? What does that mean?
Well, an indexed annuity is Both of these types of annuities are trying to package what retirees like all into one package. They have upside growth potential, to have downside protection if markets have a downturn, and also to provide liquidity. And so an indexed annuity is really trying to do that by providing upside protection, upside potential, based on linking a return to the annuity in some way to some sort of market index, whether that be the S&P 500 or some other index of stocks or bonds, to having some sort of connection to that index for the returns it provides.
But as we get into it in the future, as we talk more about these indexes, the way that they're given you, it's not like you have the full potential of the market as a whole anyway. Is that true?
Right. For starters, it's generally not going to be the stock return that includes the dividends. It will be without the dividends. And then it's only going to be some portion of the return. And there's a bunch of different ways they can be set up. Either you get some fraction of the stock market return, or you can get the stock market return up to some ceiling level that may be 5% or somewhere in that neighborhood. But generally, the fixed index annuities, they're going to behave much more like bonds than like stocks in terms of the portfolio performance.
All right, Wade, that's a great start off for where we're headed tonight. I think you've given a good idea of where we're going, at least the foundation that we need to then build on. So we got to take our first pause with traffic, and then we're going to be right back with Wade Fowle, and we're going to be talking about these annuities and how do they really work and what are they really all about. So right now, taking away traffic, we'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Need help organizing your financial life? You thought about what retirement looks like when you go beyond just the numbers? The financial physical is the first step in working together to organize your personal finances and your goals. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, an independent, fee-only firm. Call today to schedule your financial physical and experience the difference. Learn at DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com, or 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-SAVE.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Okay.
All right.
We are back.
We are. And we have Wade Fowle with us, right?
We do. And
go ahead.
Well, no, if you're just joining us, Drew mentioned it at the intro at the start. If you're just joining us, though, Dr. Wade Fowle, we've been looking to have this show for some time where we're really breaking down what are in these annuities that are advertised with the upfront bonuses and then guaranteed rates of return that are like 7%, which are so far beyond what many other things are earning.
Supposed, you know, and that's the point we got to get to and so forth. So
sure.
Indexed annuities, Wade, are actually insurance products. And your organization, American College, is the foremost education for insurance providers or insurance agents, I'd say. Is that not correct?
Well, yeah, the American College goes back to the 1920s, and it was originally created to professionalize the life insurance industry, and definitely insurance companies do take a lot of our courses and designations. We are trying to expand to include all financial services, and so we are one of the leading education providers for the CFP designation, and that's that important financial planning designation to look for.
But the point is that the annuities that we're talking about tonight, the ones that are talking about these bonuses and these 7% of, you know, incomes and all this kind of stuff, are insurance products. And and insurance companies, some insurance companies, can be masters of marketing. They want to tell the public something that sounds like that they can imply to them that they're going to get something that they really want, a high rate of return with the least amount of taxation possible, guaranteed for the rest of their life. That's what the public wants to hear. And so some companies manipulate that, in my opinion. And some of these annuities that are now being sold to the public, I think, have crossed the line, in my opinion. And so, you know, what's your take on that?
Right, yeah, that triumvirate of retirement income goals I mentioned before, it's just you want to have downside protection. So if there's a market downturn, you want to be able to still support your spending. You want to have the upside growth so that you get to enjoy market returns when the market's doing well. And then you want to have access to your assets or liquidity. And yeah, I really think it was some of these complex annuities that we're talking about were really dreamed up by the marketing departments as a way to try to bundle all three of those into one package. And ultimately, it may be cheaper to just try to do those things separately through different financial instruments rather than getting that bundled package that will tend to have a high cost associated with it.
Right. Just like you said, it's these things perform more like bonds than stocks, but people that are buying the fixed income indexed annuities, though, aren't thinking that.
They think they're getting the stock market.
They think they're getting the stock market. Right.
Right, because it's going to be indexed to a stock index.
Now, you know,
they're only getting a portion of that.
Right.
Many of our listeners say, you know, I knew immediately these things had to be, you know, misleading because you can't give an agent the commissions they're giving them. You can't give somebody a bonus that they say they're giving you. And they can't promise to give you the stock market all in one and think I'm getting a free lunch.
Right, right. They would go out of business if they really could provide all those things because they're not going to be able to earn enough on the premiums that you pay to be able to finance and fund those guarantees that they're providing to you.
So let's say, Wade, that the stock market this year is up like 7-8%, like it's currently up. It looks like it might end up the year. How would an equity index annuity, what kind of rate of return could somebody possibly expect from the typical of these type of equity? And now, one thing I want to clarify is that there are many equity index annuities that are good products with very low commissions and very low expense ratios, just like there are many guaranteed withdrawal annuities with very low commissions and very low expense ratios. But I'm talking about these ones that are promising the world. What would you expect those policies to actually yield in a year where the market's up 7-8%?
Mm-hmm. Well, the yield will be based on whatever it was without the dividend. And so if dividends are about 2% of that return we're looking, then 7 or 8% becomes 5 or 6%. And then they're just organized in a number of different ways. There's some that will have a cap so that maybe at most you can get is 5% return. In this case, you might get 5% and when the market's up like that. Others, it may be you participate in the market return. So if you have, say, a 50% participation rate, if the market is up 6% without the dividend, then you'll get a 3% return. You'll get half of that upside.
So now one of the interesting things about the market is the market has a good long-term historical rate of return, say upwards of 10% or so over the last 100 years, but a lot of that had to do with dividends, and a lot of that had to do with big years in a single year. So, you know, how does that factor into somebody's thinking as to whether or not these index annuities in reality are going to give you a good rate of return?
Right. Historically, dividends were a very important part of the total return. So if you're not getting those dividends, the historical stock market performance does look noticeably weaker. It may be taking 4% or more off of the return just through that dividend component. And, right, if your performance is being driven by occasionally you get a 20% return or a 30% return, but the fixed index annuity is capping you, so that you only get a portion of that, then you're not getting that ability to grow. And to be fair, on the downside also, there may be some floor so that if the market has a negative return, then you don't have a negative return. Your return might have a floor of 0%, so you wouldn't lose anything in those cases.
Have you done any work on the concept of somebody who sits back and, you know, invest the money into a stock market index or a few stock market indexes, accepts the downside, ups and downs, as opposed to these index annuities and all the nuances? And I tell you, Wade, I'm an expert, and I read these equity index annuities and the formulas. I can't 100% figure out exactly what they're telling me.
Right. Yep. So for variable annuities, that's the other kind that basically work in the same way, they're more understandable, and I have been able to simulate the performance of those. Fixed index annuities, it seems like there's an arms race now to make them more and more complex. And the new innovation
That's a great way to phrase it.
Yeah, they're now these dynamically changing indices that I really have no way to simulate myself to know how they'll perform. They're just getting so complex.
So now in these equity index annuities, the bonuses they give them, I always say the bonuses they're giving you are really in reality paid by you, because they trap you inside of there and they'll take that bonus away if you leave them within 10 years. And in 10 years, they're fairly confident they're going to make a lot more on your money by you keeping it with them than if you, you know, than the bonus they give you. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Well, yeah, so they have the surrender charges that if you leave the contract in the first 10 or however many years, you do pay
up. But they also have a bonus surrender also, so they have two surrender charges.
Oh, yeah, you'll give up the bonus as well. Well, the bonus and then that 7% guaranteed return, those are part of the same family of features of things that don't actually apply to your money but to a hypothetical number used to calculate income.
Yeah, well, we're going to get into that whole concept of where that 7% comes in and,
right,
you know, and so forth. But right now I was just thinking about the bonus and trying to help people to understand that bonus is like you said, you know, they're doubling the cost of something and then they're saying they're selling it to you for 50% discount, but it's only after they've already doubled the price.
Right.
And so it's kind of a false reality in many ways.
Right, or at least it's a reality that is not easy to understand, because it's not, there's a bunch of different levers they can adjust so that they can give that high bonus by adjusting another lever downward to compensate for that. And you really have to look at the big picture to understand how all these different levers interact. And so just seeing that one annuity has a higher bonus than another annuity doesn't tell you anything at all about whether it's a good deal for you.
Yeah. I've not seen any index annuities with some of the commissions. Some of these commissions, Wade, can be as high as 10% to the people, and I've even seen 15%. How can you justify that?
I think it's hard. I hadn't heard of any with that high of commission. That's getting really bad. I tend to think they're around 7%, but I could certainly imagine there's cases where they get much higher. And it is hard to justify it. The only kind of justification for it is that it is a one-time expense rather than an ongoing expense. But yeah, that's quite a bit of money.
Well, the one that you had, I don't know, it isn't a present one, but one you had several years ago where it had a surrender charge for 20 years on it, right?
20 years, 19% for the first 7 years. And it was a 60-some-year-old woman that bought it with a 20-year, you know. And it was all her money that she had from after her husband passed away. Almost every nickel of it was in this thing. I just have a hard time with these products. So when we come back, Wade, what I'd like to talk about is, let's talk about that 7%. What does that really mean? How does that really work? Are you getting 7% rate of return on it? But right now I have to take a pause and go to traffic, and we'll be right back with Wade Fowle. This is Money, Riches, and Wealth. Take it away, traffic. Personal finance has become a major area of stress due to the increasing dangers and complexities of the global economy. Personal financial management is a comprehensive approach to combating these issues, and the financial physical is the first step. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, an independent fee-only firm. The financial physical begins with an objective analysis of your personal finances and ends with a plan to help achieve your goals. Experience the difference of the financial physical and learn how personal financial management can revolutionize your financial well-being. To learn more about the financial physical and the other services we offer, call us at 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-7283. Or the easy way to remember that, 410-823-SAVE. Or visit us online at drewtig.com. That's drewtig.com. We're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We've got Wade Fowle with us, and we're talking annuities, a conversation that our listeners have asked for many, many, many months now. So it's finally here, and we're getting into the next part. So, Wade, you know, one of the things that people are saying, and they say, well, I'm getting 7% on my annuity. They promised me 7%, 7% rate of return. That's what they say, 7%, 7%. So I hear 7%, 7%. You know, when the rest of the world is paying 1% and 1.5% at the most, what's the reality behind this 7% thing that they're hearing?
Yeah, I've also heard that a lot, that there's just this common misconception that that 7% number is a return on their money. And it's not. It's important to distinguish between two things, the underlying value of your assets in the contract, which are not growing at 7%. They're just growing at whatever the market return is. And then this hypothetical number, the benefit base, it has a lot of different names, but it's a hypothetical number that will be used to calculate how much income you can get if you had some sort of income guarantee rider on the contract.
Right, so they call it an accumulation fund a lot than the ones that we see around here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so that's where that analogy about the store comes into play. I could guarantee a 10% or a 20% or a 30% return as long as I keep lowering and lowering the payout rate on the income guarantee, because a high return coupled with a low payout rate means that you're kind of left where you were anyway. You're not getting any special benefit from that.
So now the 7% is on this theoretical account that ultimately is going to determine your guaranteed withdrawal. Now, a lot of times people will come and say, okay, but I'm getting 5% per year. I'm actually getting the cash, Drew. I'm getting 5% per year. So my insurance, my annuity is paying me 5%. Now, is that really a 5% rate of return they're getting, or is it something else?
Well, that's the payout rate. And the issue is that if they just go out on the market, they would probably find that an income annuity would be paying out maybe 6.5%, something noticeably higher than the 5%. But that's, yeah, you have that 7% return factor when you're accumulating assets multiplied then by a 5% payout factor, and then that's giving you income. And there was a really great article written a few years ago by Moshe Malevsky, who's a professor at York University, who's also retirement income, and he calls it investor Fahrenheit and consumer Celsius, or it's like the insurance company is telling you the temperature in Celsius when everyone just understands what the temperatures mean in Fahrenheit. And that's the Celsius there is the combination of a high roll-up rate, that 7% return, coupled with a low payout rate, like 5% on the low side. So those combined together are like telling you the temperature in Celsius. The Fahrenheit for that is just simply how much money did you put into the contract, how much guaranteed income are you getting out of the contract, and then you can go into a spreadsheet and calculate. It's what I'm getting at, it's known as an internal rate of return. It's basically what is the return you're getting from that contract based on the income you received and the money you put into that contract. And that's Fahrenheit. That's what people can understand. That's a rate of return. That's a number that will increase as you live longer. It will be under 5% for a long time. It will eventually, if you live long enough, exceed 5%. But that's been really what we're talking about as a return. It's not that 7% number, and it's not that 5% payout rate.
So what they're doing is they're giving you what they're giving you possibly all of your own money back, maybe not any rate of return. And then if you're not making let's say you're only making a 2% actual rate of return on the investments, but they're paying you out 5, then technically as time goes on, you're getting more like 3% of your principal back a year, and as time goes on, you're getting more and more of your principal back. So I think what you just said is that if you live only to your life expectancy, you're probably going to get the shaft. If you live to be 100 or so, you might get a pretty good rate of return on it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We summed that up pretty quick. Right.
Because these contracts depend on how long you live, the return you actually get depends on how long you live as well.
And so
I think it's important to plan to live a long time in retirement. You got to plan to live rather than plan to die. But I think there are more cost-effective ways to develop a good plan based on long life.
Because it's not telling you what the underlying assets are valued at year to year.
No, they're not. But the thing I guess a lot of people like about these guaranteed withdrawal contracts, Wade, is that they can stop the guaranteed withdrawal contract and say, okay, what money do I have left? Give it back to me.
Right, right. They have the underlying asset value is liquid. You can get it back. That raises another interesting point about these roll-up rates, that if you own one of these contracts, so the decision about whether or not to buy one of these contracts is different from the decision of what should you do with it if you already bought it. And if you own one of these and plan to keep it, actually you want to start taking income as soon as possible. That 7% roll-up rate is just trying to convince you not to start taking income. Because when you start taking income, you are just spending your own money until your asset base gets to zero. And it's only at that point that the insurance company is on the hook to pay you from their funds. And so if they can get you to delay longer and longer starting to take income because they're offering that quote-unquote 7% return if you delay taking income, then they're pushing back further and further before they may ever have to pay you anything.
Now, what you just said there is a very dangerous thing that is happening for some couples, because there are many people, is a couple, where one of the two people bought this thinking that they're getting a 5 or 7% rate of return, never guaranteeing for their spouse because they figured the money's always there, and that the spouse will still have the initial $500,000 or whatever they put into it, then die 15 or 20 years later, and the surviving spouse could get nothing. Is that true?
Right. I can imagine that happening, because these contracts usually have high fees, and those fees eat away at the contract value, the value of the underlying assets in the account. And you can't really expect the underlying assets to grow. Perhaps they'll grow before income starts, but once income starts, the combination of taking income from the contract and paying those fees is going to drive the value of those assets down to zero. So, yeah, there can be a situation like what you just said.
I think you're going to get a lot of sad stories like that sometime in the next 10 years, because these things haven't been around that long that people have been drawing on them, that they fully experience the negative consequences of not understanding exactly what's going on. But let me ask you this question. This is an interesting one, too. When these companies started these products years ago, like 10, 15 years ago, some of them miswrote the contracts, and there are actually some of these that actually worked out to be a pretty good deal for people. Have you seen any of those?
Yeah, that's right. That's why if you do own one of these, you shouldn't immediately jump out to sell it as soon as possible. You really have to evaluate it. And yeah, if you bought one of these contracts in the late 1990s, it might have really good features. That those features have been slowly going away, but you might have a pretty good contract. The other thing to look at is if that hypothetical number used to calculate income is a lot higher than the value of the underlying assets, then it may be worthwhile to keep that, even though perhaps you should have never bought it in the first place. But now that you already have it, it could be valuable relative from where you are today.
Because we're a fee-only firm and we're fiduciaries at all times for everything we do for a client, we can't just liquidate these annuities when clients are coming in asking us, what do I have, help me understand it, and what should I do with it? A lot of times we're finding that what we got to do is just keep it because of some of the features that are now in there that you're stuck with, and the deferred sales charges and so forth. But let me give you a good story of one. We had a client come in, their contract, the value, if they liquidated, was $275,000. But the guaranteed accumulation fund that they could begin withdrawing on was $480,000. Because the contract didn't write into it that withdrawals were going to affect the accumulation fund.
Oh.
I mean, it was a great deal.
You probably want to keep it.
As a fiduciary, we got to tell that client to keep that one, you know. That was a good deal. I've had a couple in that I've saw, and that it, because of the stupidity of how the contract was written, it's actually turned out to be a pretty good deal. But most of them, it's just that they're stuck in them. To tell them to liquidate now would be a disaster because of the deferred sales charges and the bonus recapture and all those things. It's more you're stuck in it, and there's just not a better option to try to liquidate it. So anyway, you got to hold on with me, Wade. What I want to ask you when we come back is that there are good policies out there, good strategies people can use, and we want to talk about those because, you know, and that's a whole show I want to do with you sometime, but let's give them a little taste.
Sure.
A taste, an appetizer of what that show might be in the future. Well, right now, I got to go to traffic. We'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're with Dr. Wade Fowle and Doctor of Retirement Income. Is that what he said?
Yeah, sure. He's got his PhD in economics and now in retirement income at the school here. And he's taking this kind of thing to unmask what these annuities are doing.
Right. And, Wade, what was the name of that professor at York University you said that wrote the article Fahrenheit and
Moshe
Celsius?
Moshe Maleski.
What's his name?
Yep. Moshe Maleski.
Moshe
Maleski.
Write that down.
Okay, and the article was called?
It had the words Fahrenheit and Celsius in it.
All right, so I'm sure if somebody Google searched that, that's the thing about Google, it'll come up with it somewhere along the way.
There you go.
So, Wade, you know, we might as well take advantage of giving the listeners a little appetizer of some of the real work you're doing that many people like ourselves, Chris and I and the Financial Consulate, we appreciate the work you do in retirement income analysis because it's a critical question, especially when you're in a world of zero interest rates. So why don't you just give us a little tidbit about what you're doing and how valuable it is to the advisory community, the professional advisory community?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm focused on retirement income, which is, it's really a new field within financial planning, and it's important to really recognize that in retirement, the situation's different than pre-retirement, so the just traditional investment approaches don't always work for retirees. The big problem is just that retirees have less ability to maintain their standard of living in the event of market downturns, and they really need to think more holistically about how do they put together a retirement portfolio that may not be as an investment portfolio that's not as risky as in the pre-retirement period, to think about more simple types of annuities like income annuities, and to really use all their assets, make good decisions about Social Security claiming, thinking about how to use home equity, how to use all the assets available to really put together a retirement plan that will provide income and also manage retirement risks about the impact of market volatility, the not knowing how long someone's going to live in retirement, and then also just different types of shocks and surprises like long-term care and health care.
Now, you've twice in this. Go ahead, Chris. I'll
say,
let you
there's
talk.
10 shows.
There's 10 shows. What's that?
There's 10 shows. What he just talked about in the last 30 seconds, we could do 10 shows on those.
I forgot what I was going to say. But you go ahead and do those 10 shows. you talked about income annuities twice now, and you've not only just talked about them, you really emphasized how beneficial they can be. Now, an income annuity, the way I interpret, and you can tell me if I've got it right, is somebody turns over a hunk of money, let's say it's $300,000, to an insurance company, and depending on what your age is, they say, we're going to give you umpteen dollars a month for the rest of your life, and if you're married, we'll give you and your spouse umpteen dollars a month for the rest of either of your lives, whoever is the last to pass away. But if you two both pass away shortly, nothing comes back, and if you ever want to stop it, nothing comes back. Is that the income annuity you're referring to, or is it something different?
Right, yep, that's the pure life-only income annuity that I'm talking about.
Okay, and so one of the detriments of those types of annuities is the impact of inflation. And I know you've already thought this out because I've read your article, so why don't you give people a tidbit of why, despite the inflation risk to that annuity, why you believe it's a great opportunity for people who don't have a pension from any other source other than Social Security.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, sure. And just so that Moshe Maleski article, the name of the article was Annuity Analytics, What is a Guaranteed Rate Really Worth? It was a ThinkAdvisor piece from 2009. But yeah, so income annuities, the basic idea, now you can get refund provisions if somebody passes away early, but the very basic idea of a life-only income annuity, that premium that you pay provides a guaranteed income for life. And then that helps to manage the longevity risk because if somebody, well, and you made the great point too that it's creating your own personal pension. Now that people have less pension income from traditional defined benefit pensions, if you want to have more income that's guaranteed beyond what Social Security provides, this is really the way to look at that.
It also
it provides.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Well, so it's just in terms of if you're trying to manage all of your retirement risk with only an investment portfolio, that tends to push people to be conservative. And also you hear a lot about Americans that are actually not even spending at any kind of safe rate. They are underspending because they're so worried about outliving their money that they just hold on to it and don't spend it. And so an income annuity can really help somebody to feel comfortable with spending because they know this income will last for as long as they live. On the insurance matter, I think it's useful to just make small purchases of annuities over time and to make sure you stay under the state guarantee levels. Each state has a different level, but by staying under those levels, I think it's more efficient to just buy the income annuity that doesn't offer inflation protection. But if you pay a smaller amount into it, you're going to get more income than otherwise. With inflation protection, you get less initial income, and that income just grows over time.
Well, in a fixed interest annuity, if you add an inflation protection, you're really not adding inflation protection. You're just starting out at a lower amount of money, and then they're just going to increase it over time. That the average you're going to get over a normal life expectancy is going to be the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's just you're getting less early on, more later on with the inflation protection.
What about a life annuity with a variable annuity? What do you think of those?
Well, that's something that's not real popular. There are just immediate variable annuities that let you participate in the market but still have a basic guaranteed income level. I don't have a real strong opinion about them just because they're such a small part of the market that it's I don't even know where you would buy one of those. But the basic idea is good, and this is actually... So Moshe Maleski, who we mentioned earlier, he's done everything in retirement.
Maybe I should have had Moshe on the radio.
Yeah, him on the show. He talks about the tontine, which is basically a group of people get together, they have an investment portfolio, and then everyone's paid based on how the investment portfolio performs and also based on how many people in that pool are still alive. And that gives you a way to also get some sort of additional income should you end up living longer. Because it's when you live longer that you have to worry about outliving your assets. And
now,
that's where you
want that. What was this pool called? This Moshe thing called? What was it called?
Well, it's called a tontine. In the popular culture, it has a bad image because there were movies about tontines where it's kind of winner takes all. So the last few people in the pool are trying to kill each other to get at that pot of assets.
Well,
but in the real world, that's not how they work. That's not how a real one works. In the real world,
cannibals?
Once you get the pool small enough, you would just stop having additional increases as more and more people.
I got to admit, Wade, I've been in this industry a long time. I've never heard of a tontine.
Hmm.
Is that what you called it?
Yeah, there was a movie about them, I think in the 1960s, that had this story I just said.
Wow. That's cool. So
it's
maybe
a
that's
way to get the lifetime income without actually having to pay an insurance company. So insurance companies won't like them because you don't need an insurance company. You just need some sort of administrator to keep track of who's in the pool and to make the...
But wouldn't you need a large enough pool to make sure that it works?
Yeah, you would want to have a large enough pool, but I think like 1,000 people or somewhere in that ballpark would be enough. And so you could do this through different organizations, like the fire departments could get together and create a tontine pool for the firemen and so forth.
Well, we are unfortunately out of time, but that was a great appetizer to what we're going to talk
about.
Sure,
it really is. Yeah, we can.
Wade, I really appreciate your time as we expected. You were great.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate it, and we'll be back in touch with you to have you on next year to talk about retirement planning from just a general perspective. Right now, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.